And today we're going to begin a new series called Time Your Life. And if anything, we have the really, really cool privilege of having introductory videos like that, right? I mean, honestly, was the music and the video just not the coolest thing? Honestly? It was. But we're going to talk about time for the next 5 weeks. And I'd like to start off by asking just a simple question. Who in here loves their alarm clock? Nobody? You don't love the sound of the or that time when the music comes on, but you know for certain you didn't put on that radio station because you don't like country or you don't like jazz or talk radio is just not your thing. So nobody in here is in love with their alarm clock. It's interesting. But yet, how many here use an alarm clock every morning? Show of hands. That's at least a majority of us, right? A lot of us, we are, as adults, we're kind of constrained by our alarm clock. We kind of move from place to place based on time, do we not? I mean, how many of you guys have checked your phone since you've been here this morning? How many of you guys have looked at your watch and been like, hope he gets done in time. I've got something to eat soon. I mean, I even have a clock down here that tells me exactly what time it is, so I don't take too much time of your time to tell you guys about time. So yeah, when we look at our time and we think about time, a lot of times we just, you know, we think about how busy we are in life. We think about how we have that meeting or have that responsibility. We have that thing to get structured and to figure out, to plan ourselves. I mean, I have a calendar that has 17 calendars on it. It's got the dates. It's got birthdays. It's got, what else is on there? U.S. holidays for some reason. It's got what I'm doing here at church. It's got what I'm doing at other places. It's got other people's schedules that I help with and that help me do things in my life. I kind of know what things are going and where people are doing. And it's all surrounded around this idea of time. Many of you guys have that same thing going on in your lives today. But think back with me. Remember when we were younger? It was a lot different, wasn't it? Like our view of time when I was a young child had to have been different than it is now. Where I feel like I'm always being pushed now to get things done, to try to fit in things in my busy schedule, to always be looking at the clock or, hold on one second, looking at my phone to figure out what time it is. Because I know that I have a 2-year-old little girl, and I know the one question she's never asked me, which is the one question as adults we tend to always ask ourselves, and it's, what time is it? Isn't it? My little girl, Olive, she has never asked me that question. And I think it's peculiar. I think it's odd that she's never asked me, what time is it? I mean, she always has her routine. I mean, she gets up. I get her a couple Fig Newtons and a Go-Gurt. We sit down in the bed. We put on Barney. We get her dressed. We take her to school. She does her thing in her class. She has snack time. She has nap time. She has potty time because she's getting potty trained, and it's phenomenal. She's really good at it. She'll tell you when she needs to go, and she actually goes in the proper place now. It's fantastic. She's got what we like to call Barney time, where we watch a Barney video. For those of you guys that don't have Netflix, get Netflix, because you'll have kids hopefully at some point. And dude, there's just a list of things those kids can watch. It's amazing. It's called edutainment, by the way. We have bedtime. We have lunchtime. And see, lunchtime at our house is both lunch and dinner, because Olive doesn't associate dinner with anything. She just thinks that lunch is dinner. So when we say, hey, you ready for lunch? She might think noon. She might think 6, because she has no clue. She just knows that it's just time to eat, right? And that's how a 2-year-old mind works. Time is not a concept to them, is it? It's just not something they really think about. I mean, she's never come up to me and said, hey, Daddy, is there any way we can hurry up? Because I don't want to be late for my next thing. Or is there any way we can kind of get in the car and can you tell me how long it's going to take for us to do this? And is there any reason why I don't get to watch Barney longer than 45 minutes? If my child gave me a time frame of 45 minutes at her age, I would think that there is something very, very right about her. You know what I'm saying? Brilliant 2 to 3-year-old, right? But as we get older in life, right, we get to between that 6 and 7 year range of our lives. And you guys can think back with me. If you have kids, maybe this is the case. But time for a 6 and 7 year old is all about use. It's how are they using their time? I mean, they could be outside in the backyard playing basketball, football, playing on the swing set for hours, and it feel like minutes to them. And then when they get done with that time, if you say, hey, it's time to come in, they're like, oh, man, you didn't give me enough time, Mom. He didn't even have time. This wasn't enough time. But if you have to go to the grocery store when you're a six-year-old, it takes forever. I remember having to go to Mega Market or Cecil's with my mom when I was a little kid. No? Mega Market fans? No? Okay. And I remember going and either riding in the basket, which didn't last very long because those things aren't exactly the most comfortable things in the world, or I was able to walk beside her. And for some reason, the aisles were like a mile and a half long, and there was 500 of them. You guys know what I'm talking about? I mean, it just took forever to get through Mega Market. I was like, we have to go down this aisle, Mom? What about this one? We got to do this one too? We don't even have a cat. Why do we have to go down this aisle? There's no reason for this. I mean, you view time as a 6 and 7 year old as how much use can I get out of it? And when it's not in your favor, it's like, oh man, it's like time is just dripping by. When you're having fun as a kid, it's like, whoa, time is just like blowing by. But it's cool because I'm doing what I want to do and I'm not even thinking about it. And then all of a sudden you become a teenager, right? For some reason, when you become a teenager, someone special gives you the keys to time. Because when you think as a teenager about time, all you're thinking about is how much time can I spend doing pretty much whatever I want to do? I mean, how many hours on Facebook can I spend and just invest on the Twitter, on just whatever, just doing my things, playing my games on my phone, iPod, iPad, whatever, doing my stuff as a teenager? I remember when I was in middle school and even high school, we'd have friends come over and they'd spend the night and we'd hang out. We'd have practice the next day in whatever sport I was playing. And I can remember going to bed, both of us, about 11 o'clock. And for me, the way my body clock works, 8 hours after I close my eyes, I wake up. No more, no less. 8 hours. My friends, they would go to bed at 11. They would get up at 2:30 in the afternoon. I would go to bed at 11, get up at 7, mind you. I would have already had two meals in before the guys wake up and like, hey, man, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know, bro. I've been hanging out. I've been watching you sleep over there, wasting your day away. I've played video games. I've gone outside. I've done a ton of things. What have you been doing? Man, I've just been, you know, I've been sleeping, trying to catch up. Got nothing to do. I mean, really? But that's how a high school, middle school student thinks. Man, I've got all the time in the world, especially in the summer. When these kids get out of school, for some reason, it's like, boom, all this time has opened up. Just a big, huge window where they might actually brush their teeth in a week because they're sleeping the entire week. What time did you go to bed? Nah, I can't remember. What time did you get up? Like 4? In the afternoon? Yeah, man. What? Really? But then something happens, right? We become an 18-year-old. We graduate from high school. And then all of a sudden, like, the weight of time just kind of just settles right on top of us. And we begin to think, because we're out of high school now. Like, we've got to either, A, go to college, B, get a job, or both, right? So now we've got to set the alarm clock, which we all have that love-hate relationship. We're excited that it wakes us up, but we just can't stand the sound of whatever comes out of that box with the clock on it. I know I can't. It's not even near me either. That's the bad part. It's on my wife's side of the bed. So I'm like, Ashley, you know, just do something. Do something, please. And then she'll hit the snooze and get up and go do something. And I'm like, clock, arm, just doing this right here. Just can't get to it, and I can't move because I'm completely pinned down in the bed. It's a terrible thing. But as adults, we have all this responsibility, right? We get it at 18. We become a student. We have classes we have to be on time for, or we get, you know, there's consequences that are just heavy. We've got a job we've got to be on time for. There's consequences that are heavy. And as we go through our college experience, for those of us who are able to do that, and we get out on the other side of that, and it's time for us to settle down with someone special. Now we've got not only our schedule, which has become increasingly busy since we've turned 18, to now I've got to deal with now my wife or my husband's schedule. Now there's two schedules I got to tend with. It's gone. Honestly, it's gone from I can do whatever I want to with my time to now I'm dealing with two schedules. This isn't fair. And then a few years down the road, what happens? Like in my case, we turn 26. We have a little girl, and now I've got to deal with three schedules? Are you kidding me? This doesn't seem to be getting easier. This doesn't seem to be the way I was hoping things were going. I mean, all this time, where time when I was a little kid was non-conceptual, and then it became all about using it and not using it, and then it became all about me, and now it's like all about everything else, and now I'm running out of it. It's like I don't have enough time. And then we have two kids, and in some cases, four kids. And then as you grow up and as you raise your kids, what happens? Then your kids have kids. Now you've got not only your schedule and your wife's schedule, but you've got your kids' schedule that you want to keep up with because you want to know what they're doing. You call them every day to find out, check in. When are we going to hang out? How are we going to do that? Are we coming over today? Are we not coming over today? Can we hang out this weekend? Haven't seen you in a while. And then with the grandkids, it's like, oh my gosh, they've got schedules too. And then they start playing sports as they get older. So you got to tuck all that in. And it becomes overwhelming, right? I mean, our time becomes a non-conceptual thing when we're younger to where it's like, man, I don't even know, to something we've got to manage like we're the president of the United States. What's happened with our time? What's happened as we've gotten older? Well, I think for many of us, we've realized that, hey, we've only got so many hours in a day, right? We've only got so much time in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year to get the things that we want to get done. And we have so many things that to us are special and important to get done within our time. And for a lot of us, we find ourselves so busy now as adults, so time constrained, so I've got to check the clock. It's now 10 minutes after the last time I checked the clock. Because we've got all these things that we want to get done in our time that we don't want to miss out on, that we want to experience, that we want to see have happen in our lives, in our wives' lives, our husbands' lives, in our kids' lives, in our grandkids' lives. But we know, right, that time is running out. And the key question that many of us ask, because we're so constrained to our phones and to our watches and to our computer screens or to our VCRs, is what time is it? Or the real question we need to be asking ourselves isn't necessarily what time is it, but how am I spending my time? And more importantly, am I spending my time wisely? Because you guys know that as you've gotten older, especially the adults in this room, you've looked back on moments in your life where you've thought, that was 10 years? Like last year, I had my 10-year reunion from high school. And I thought, that was 10 years? We just had our second child, Lincoln. And I'm like, I have two kids? I will be 30 in July. And I'm thinking to myself, that was 30 years? That? I don't feel a day over 12. I don't act a day over 8 most of the time. But the reason why I say that is because there are those certain moments in our lives, right, where we do think to ourselves, man, time is rolling by. Time is like, the Bible says, like a vapor, like here today, gone tomorrow. But for some reason, we don't live in those moments, do we? We don't live like, man, one less day. We don't live like, hey, you know what? I do have a day that is set for the future, I hope, that I won't be here. Many of us, we understand those moments in those monumental moments. But most of the time, we don't live in those moments. We're so busy, we're so caught up in our day-to-day that we don't really think about how we're spending our time. To where we will never ask the question on a regular basis, though I think we should, am I spending my time wisely? And as we were preparing this series and I was thinking about this, I was like, my goodness, I don't even ask myself that question. What am I doing with my time? How am I spending my time? Do I even consciously think about time? I mean, time is like one of those things, like, you know, when you go to the doctor and the doctor asks you to breathe, you guys can try this with me. Just breathe in deep real quick. Go breathe out. Breathe in again. One more time. And that thing on your back is like ice cold. Like they dipped it in some like cooler full of ice or liquid nitrogen or something like that. And they slap it to your back. Like, hey, this is going to hurt. But the only time we really think about breathing, the only time we're really conscious of breathing is when we actually stop to think about breathing. You guys haven't stopped breathing today since we've been here. I've been watching you. Same goes for blinking. You guys blink at me real quick. Real quick. I see a few. I can't see everybody. But you don't think about blinking until you start blinking. Until you think about blinking. So it is, I think, with our time. But we all know that our time is running out. Our time is short. Our time is quick. Nobody has to tell us that. But for some reason, we don't live within those moments. We don't live within those monumental moments of change in our life. But maybe we need to start thinking about doing that more often. Maybe we need to start thinking about how much time we have left more often. Because for many of us, as we sit here, especially those that are a little older than me, 20, 30 years older than me in this room, you guys know for certain your days are really, really kind of coming to an end. You hope it's just not today. So what I'd like for us to do today, I want us to take a look at maybe a different way to view time. Where many of us, we view time as something that we've got to use and manage and structure in such a way to get all the busy stuff that we've got to get done, done. And we hope we just don't run out of time before we get all the necessary stuff done. I want us to look at an author who spent his days as, in my opinion, one of the busiest guys you can ever even consider to be a busy guy. I mean, the guy we're going to look at today, he spent years minding his own business until one day on his father's farm, tending some sheep, minding his own business, mind you, a bush was on fire and it was speaking out to him. And this guy stands up next to the bush and the bush tells him, hey, take your sandals off, for where you're standing is holy ground. And he obeys and he gets instruction from this bush, and out of the bush, the voice of God tells him to go to his people, Israel, and say, hey, listen, I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell him to let my people go. And Moses stutters and stammers and says, but I'm not the guy. I can't be the guy. I've got things to do. But he's like, I got you. Go to them. Tell them all these things. Show them that you're from me. Show the people that you're from me. Tell them the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has sent me to you. Moses obeys and Moses does what he's asked to do. And he goes to Pharaoh and he goes through all the plagues and the Red Sea moment happens. And on the back end of all this, walking in the wilderness for 40 years, Moses, for some reason, takes time to reflect on some moment in his life, some time in his life where for some reason he stops and thinks about time. And we're going to look at a passage. We're going to look at a prayer today that I think is really just incredible. And I think if we begin to pray this prayer and just think the way Moses thought about time, I think for many of us, we will find a serious amount of joy, a serious amount of reorganization within the way we view time, our time. So if you have your Bibles, or you can just look on the screen, we're going to be in Psalm 90. Yes, Psalm 90. We're going to read a few verses, but I want us to get kind of an idea of where Moses is coming from as it relates to time and how for many of us, we can have this same perspective if we're just okay with it. So I'll begin in verse 1. It says, oh, but before that, if you guys are there already, above verse 1, if you guys can't see this, it's cool. It says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. The man of God, not just some guy. This guy was important. This guy had value. But this is what he says about God. He says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. You've been our dwelling place in other ways to say that. You've been our refuge. You've been our go-to source. You've been where we've come from. You've been that guy that has been our comfort in all generations. The history of Israel was founded simply because of your existence, God. This is Moses' perspective right now. For some reason, something caught his attention. He goes on to say this, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, wherever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, your God. Before the foundation of the world, Moses says, God existed. And when this world comes to an end, guess who will still exist? God. Moses, for some reason, as important as he was, because guys, he was important. Let's not miss that. He was in charge of leading 2 million people into a promised land. He was in charge of a nation that out of that nation would be born a Messiah whom we worship today, who we sung about today. I mean, this guy was important, if importance matters. This guy had to deal with judicial things. This guy had to deal with food and water issues. This guy had to deal with all these things. He had to send delegates out to handle some of the business because he was so stinking busy. And yet Moses says this: God, before the mountains are brought forth, or you'd ever form the earth of the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you're God. Do you think Moses understood who God was in his life? Maybe. He had a few conversations with him. Verse 3, he gets all practical. He says, listen, this is just reality. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. Verse 4, he says, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. The reason why God can say, return to dust, O man, is because God sees our lives from like a panoramic view. He sees the beginning of history and the end of history all at one time, where we see minutes and seconds and days and all these things clicking one after the other. And the past is gone. Yesterday was yesterday, but tomorrow is coming. So we live. Moses is saying that God views our time as 1,000 years or but as yesterday to us. How many in here have had that day where it just flew by like that? Just that one day. Could have been yesterday. Just zip by. You're so stinking busy. You just couldn't get anything done. And you got everything done. You got all this stuff to do. And boop, 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 done. Woke up. Had a cup of coffee. That's all you remember. You went to bed. That's how God sees our entire life. That's how God sees 1,000 years. The quickest day you've ever experienced is how God sees 1,000 years. Let that sink in and settle in. See, that's how Moses viewed God. That's how Moses viewed time. Time's quick. Time's fast. He goes on to say this in verse 5. He says, you sweep them away as with a flood. That is our life. That is our days. They're like a dream. Like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and renewed. But by the end of the day, it fades and withers. He's getting all like mortal on us. He's telling us that our life is super quick, that we're going to run out of time, that we need to be mindful that God is outside of time, that God is working in our time, and that if we're not careful and we whiff on knowing that we only have so much time, if we're so caught up and busy in our time doing our thing for our benefit or our goals, that man, we might be missing out on our entire life. Because how much time do we really have? I mean, if our lives are like grass that in the morning, man, it's beautiful, but by the end of the day, it's faded, withered, and dies, and that's how God's perspective is on time, then maybe that's how our perspective should be. Our perspective should be on time. If God views our time as super quick and as concentrated, it's one of those things that if we don't get in on this quickly about what is important and who is important in our time. And for Moses, I'm pretty sure, as I've read the first 6 verses of this prayer, that God is the most important part of his time. God is the most important part of time. And the best way for him to use his time and view his time is in light of the fact that it's not his time, but God's time. And then we drop down to verse 12. And this is where it gets, practical. It gets real. Because think about it. Moses is about to wrap up and get through a prayer that he's praying to God. And he's saying, hey, God, you are the eternal timeless one and I'm not. You're the important one and I'm not. You're the one that means the most to me over anything. And let me reflect on the time that I've spent on this earth as quickly as it's gone by. And let me not take for granted the time that I have left, because we all know, right, that our days are going to come to an end. And then Moses says this in verse 12. He says, so teach us, asking God, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Number our days, God. Teach me to number my days. understanding that yesterday is gone, today is what I have, and tomorrow is not exactly guaranteed for me. Why? Why do we need number of days? Because we get a heart of wisdom, of discernment. Because when we finally realize that our time is limited and short and fleeting, that we become very, very concentrated on our time. We don't feel like we can waste our time. I mean, there's been books written, right, guys? There's been books written. I was speaking with Jonathan early this week. One was called 30 Days to Live. I mean, imagine only having 30 days left to live. What kind of adjustments would you make? Would you want a heart of wisdom? Would you want to make good decisions for the next 30 days? Or would you want to just kick back and relax and not really worry about it? Not really think about it? Not really invest in those relationships that you know matter most? Not really kind of... No, I mean, I think we'd be very, very mindful very, very quickly of the time we have left, because we would literally be counting down the days. And Moses is saying, Lord, teach me daily to number my days so that I may get a heart of wisdom, so I may make the right decisions. Because everybody in here, right, we all know our time is short. We all know we've got a direction we want to go. We think we want to go with our life. But what if we begin to start counting our days and knowing we only have so much left? Would we or would we not try to invest more time in figuring out what God would have us do with our days? With our time that we have left? Would we or would we not just really begin to reconsider how I use my time? Because for me, especially, I figured that my time is my time. And maybe it's something that I've just grown up with, where I was kind of the star of my own show, my own life, where things were kind of all about me growing up. And even though my time, the way I view time, has evolved, I'm kind of the center of my own show. I'm kind of the center of my own life. I mean, many of us, we sit here thinking that same way. And maybe Moses did too. But for some reason, something happened in his life. It could have been in the wilderness for 40 years. It could have been, you know, just thinking back on when the Red Sea parted and all those people ushered through and all that awesome stuff happened. With the cloud by day, the pillar by night, fire by night. I mean, come on. All this supernatural stuff was going on around Moses. And he realized, you know what? My life's not really about me. My life is kind of about God. My days should kind of be then about God. If the only amount of time I have left is so brief, then maybe a perspective change, maybe a question needs to be asked more often than not. And it's simply, am I spending my time wisely? So guys, I leave you with that prayer that Moses finished with. I want you guys to consider asking, hey, teach me, Lord, to number my days so that I may gain a heart or get a heart or grow a heart of wisdom. Where I can make good decisions, where I can discern, figure out, Spirit, what it is that you would have me do with my time. Because we all know that the clock is ticking on our lives. And what's so funny is I've worked with kids for the years that I've worked with them. I can think back on three statements that most parents make, when, especially when they're a new student or a new kid or a new deal. The first thing they want to say is, hey, you know, are these kids going to be safe? Are my kids going to be safe in your program? Of course, I answer with, yeah, absolutely. And then they say, you know, are they going to be healthy? Are they going to be taken care of? I mean, are they going to be supervised properly? Yeah, absolutely. Everything's going to be fine, sure. And then they say something peculiar, and I think it's interesting. They say, will they have enough things to do? Like, will they just be there playing their DSs and playing video games and watching TV? Will they be wasting their time? Because I don't want my child to waste his time. My child's time's too valuable. I mean, guys, don't you think that our Heavenly Father is sitting there looking at our lives and how we've structured it and scheduled it? And he's hoping that we kind of engage with him. Because deep down, you know that he knows that he doesn't want you to waste your life. He doesn't want you to waste your time. He doesn't want you to whiff on all the things that he has planned for you in this brief moment that we have in life. I mean, guys, he is our Heavenly Father for that reason, among others. To give us this encouragement, to give us this instruction, to help us refocus and reorganize and reconfigure our lives. To be exactly where we want to be because we know who's ultimately in control, who's ultimately on top of time, and who's ultimately time is for to begin with. So guys, as I pray for us right now, I want our hearts to really just be conscious of time, our minds to be conscious of time. I want us to think about time for just a second. You guys, close your eyes with me. Just think about time. Think about how you spend your time. Think about the important things in your life. And then pray this with me. Say, God, teach me to number my days so that I may get a heart of wisdom. Teach me, God, daily to number my days so that I may get a heart of wisdom. God, that's our prayer today. That's what we want today. Because hopefully time is one of those things where we no longer take it for granted. That we no longer need any more monumental moments to get us to reflect and kick back and think about our past and how fast it's going by. That God, we can just be settled knowing that our time and our days are numbered, that we are running out of time. And the sooner we get connected with you, the sooner we figure out where it is you'd have us go, the better. God, be with us in this. Let your spirit move in this. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.